Chapter 3:16, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Folks don't hardly know the difference today, you know. Amen. He's going to give you a little discernment a little bit later on if you're worthy of it. Praise God. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Amen. And ye shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I like to preach on a subject which I'll call woe back. Woe back. You ever hear a team driver say, whoa? Amen. You old timers, you know that, don't you? Whoa. And then woe back. And did you ever see a team go into reverse? Amen. And back that wagon up. Huh? A good team that's well trained, that knows its master's voice, when he says, whoa, they'll stop dead in their tracks. When he says, whoa, back, I mean the traces will go slack. They'll back up against them single trees. Amen. And that collar that's hooked to that tongue, that pressure will be brought to bear on that tongue, and they'll back that wagon up. Yeah. Amen. And it's not a very good team that don't know woe back. Amen. Hey, I read you some wonderful promises here. Great promises. We like them, don't we? Amen. Don't we like this one? It says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. We like that promise, don't we?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hey, but we've drove all the way through McDonald's and we got to the window that says, that's where you receive your hamburger and french fries. Amen. And they say, you missed the window where you order and the window where you pay. You got to go back and do it over again. We like the window where the blessing comes out, don't we? Amen. But you got to go around and do it over and order right. And hope it's in the sack that they hand out the window. How many ever got home and didn't have it all in the sack? Huh? Hey, how many believe God puts it all in the sack? The angels, he's got dispatched at the heavenly McDonald's window. They get it right the first time. Every time. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. I'm reaching on the wall back. Listen to this. Amen. He says, but. Now, wait a minute, that means that's the first word in verse 2, chapter 4 says, but. So that means it's a conjunction, it's connected to that which was before it. Whoa, back! Amen. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble. For that day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root church. That'll make you glad for that butt down there, won't it? But unto you that fear my name. Whoa! But the first preposition of the first verse of chapter 4 says for. Amen. That means that conjunctive preposition is tied to the last part of the third chapter. Amen. So let's go back. He said, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God, him that serveth him not. How many like that? In a highway of holiness church, could you say amen? How many think we ought to be able to kindly know anyhow, even though we may not be able, like the disciples, to tell every Judas in the congregation, praise God, we can at least know for the most part. Hey, we can know our own heart. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? But wait a minute. That first word of the 18th verse says then. Oh, we got to go back a little farther. Whoa, back. Come on back, Lord. Whoa, back. Amen. Back up here. 17th verse. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewel, and I will spare them as a man that spareth his own son that serveth him. Amen. Hey, I like that promise, don't you? That's a good one, isn't it? Praise God. Oh, yes. Amen. And they shall be mine. That's a promise that goes along with that proposition in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, where he says, amen, ye shall be my people and I'll be your God, saith the Lord of hosts. When? Amen. Yeah, there's some conditions tied to it, isn't there? Amen. Yeah, you got to start perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Separating yourself from everything that defiles in this world. Praise God. There's a lot of things that are specially designed to capture our curiosity. Most of the commercials today, radio and the media, amen, are designed to capture your curiosity and get you to try it. Amen. It may not be any better. Amen. I decided I'd try Pepsi's new one. Amen. And I got me some Pepsi one. And I thought it tastes strangely familiar. It looks like Pepsi, but it tastes a whole lot like Sprite, colored brown. Amen. I got to thinking, that's what it is. It's Mountain Dew colored brown. Amen. And that's my opinion, you know. But it got my curiosity aroused, you know, try one calorie. Let's see if Pepsi's improved and took that bit of whang out of the Diet Pepsi. Amen. It makes it a little bit tough, you know, to drink. Amen. I decided I'd try that one. It don't have a bit of whang. Don't have much of a whang at all. Amen. It may not have enough whang for all I know. Amen. Maybe Mountain Dew colored brown for all I know, praise God, but it captured my curiosity and got me to do it. Amen. He said, and they shall be mine, and I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, and. Well, that means I've got to get a hold of my reins again. Whoa, back, boys. I've got two ends here. I've got to see what it's connected to. Whoa, back. How good a team are you this morning? Amen. Somebody about to balk on me? Amen. Come on. Amen. I know the old gray mule ain't what she used to be. And the old gray mare ain't what she used to be. Amen. And the old brown mule ain't what he used to be. Hey, come on. Don't get tired of backing up here. We need to get the conditions down pat. Praise God. Let's go back to verse 16 of chapter 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Amen. That means, brother, they that feared the Lord just liked each other so well, they got together real often. Yes. That's what church is. It's getting together. Woo. Amen. They that feared the Lord. Well, there ought to be more than just a half a dozen fears the Lord, don't you think? How many fear the Lord? Hold up your hand. Amen. See there? There's more than that here today. That's why we're here. We fear the Lord. All of us fear the Lord. And, amen. We like other people that fear God. And so we get together once in a while and we talk to each other. They spake often. Spake often one another. You know what that is? That's fellowship. I would think you ought to go to church all the time. You know what's wrong with a person like that? They're as carnal as they can be. Man, they're carnal as dead meat and sour as kraut. Dry as last year's bird's nest. Amen. Hey, that's why they don't go to church all the time. Fellow told Sister Fern Kidd, in fact, Mr. Hopper, the co-owner of Hopper Funeral Home, said, his wife, she lived next door to him. She said, I don't see why you all go to church all the time. Well, I said, Sister Fern, why didn't you tell her that if your church was like hers, you wouldn't want to go all the time neither? Amen. Because it's a chore to go to some churches. There's no joy in the camp. Amen. They don't fear the Lord. They tolerate one another. They don't fear God. They tolerate Him. They don't respect the Word of God. They tolerate it. They might need Him someday. Might need somebody to preach their funeral. Lord, it would be a national disaster if they didn't have nobody to eulogize them at their funeral. Amen. So they go to church once in a while. Amen. Most of them don't have church on Sunday night. Amen. No more. Saturday? Forget it. Wednesday night? Well, I said, I'll come over and visit you sometime to a nominal church pastor. Amen. He said, well, we have Bible study on Wednesday night. I knew what he meant. You have a half dozen people gathered together because them's the only ones that care. Biggest churches, nicest church in the country. They can't get nobody out for a midweek service. They got the business community, upper crust of society there. And they're too busy to go to church. They're too busy. Hey, amen. I want to ask you this morning, is the dog wagging his tail still today, or is the tail wagging the dog? Well, first we got to decide which is a tail, which is a dog. Amen. Amen. And I think the dog ought to wag the tail and not the tail wag the dog. Amen. Hey, that job you got, hey, that business you got, that's secondary to the cause of God. Amen. And that tail ought to wag when it says, come time to go feed the soul, the spiritual man. We got too many that got it backwards. The tail's got so out of proportion, he's wagging the dog now. Amen. And I mean, it's like wrestling alligators, some church members. You got to watch out for that tail. Amen. An alligator don't have much pressure in his jaws. Amen. And you can hold his jaws together because he don't have very strong muscles to open his mouth. But you better stay out of the way of that tail. He'll knock you out with that. Amen. Hey, the tail's a wagging a lot of church members today, and a lot of pastors got to be careful. Amen. He managed to keep their mouth shut, but he can't always control that tail that they're wagging. Well, it'll catch on after a while. Once I had a tattler's wagon, and amen, my friends would fill it full, and fast as I would empty up, some friend would fill it full. By and by I got so busy, I little else to do. And I would load my wagon up and sing, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Amen. Dragging a tattler's wagon all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch him tales. He said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, praise God. And a book of remembrance was written before. Whoa, back. Praise God. They go to church real often. They get together real often because they fear the Lord. Amen. We don't go to church in self-defense like the lady went to the quilting party. The old-fashioned quilting party was a little more than a big gossip session of the ladies in the community, and she knew it. And so she went to the quilting party not because she wanted to go, but she went in self-defense. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, we don't go to church in self-defense because somebody might think we're backslid or somebody might take away our right to vote. We go to church because we fear God, amen, and keep His commandments, and we love the children of God, and we just love to have fellowship one with another. Amen. But verse 16 starts with a then. Another conjunction. Another preposition. Amen. And so we got to go back. Whoa, back. Whoa, 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 whoa. Amen. And now we call the proud happy. And they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Well, that 15th verse has got that and now. That means there's something in front of it. Whoa, whoa, boy. Whoa, back. Come on. I'm getting tired of backing down this alley. Amen. Why in the world don't you take an ocean to go forward? Amen. It's because sometimes we want the promise without the conditions. We like that promise that says, in the day when I make up my jewels, they'll be mine. We love that promise that says, He'll arise with healing in His wings. Hey, but why back? Let's go back and see what that now. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. That's how people, amen, they first start out talking about people in the church. Then they talk about the pastor, amen, and they never thought they would get to this place, but now they're talking about God. They got bitter at everybody first, then they got bitter at the pastor, and then they got bitter at God. None of them was right. None of them was justified. Because in the last analysis, it'll be nobody's record but mine, Lord. I have nobody to blame but myself. Amen. Hey! Amen. We're suffering for our own sins, and we're not getting the just due for that. God's awful good for us and covers for us all the time. Amen. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Amen. You've said it is vain to serve God. Amen. They're like Jeff after prayed for him down at Barville, Kentucky, and he was still sick. And Bill Morris was talking to him out back, and Cleta and he told him about being sick. And he said, well, you'll have to ask the Lord to help you, Jeff. And he answers prayer. He said, I had my daddy to pray for me, but I didn't get much luck. Amen. Amen. What profit is it that we serve the Lord? Some Christians don't know how to wait on the Lord, Richard. Amen. And so they're like a little Harris boy that I prayed for and Middletown, Ohio, he had the measles, and he came up to be prayed for. Measles or chicken pox, one. I can't remember how. He had a little red specks all over his arm and all over his hand. Little fella came up to be prayed for at Full Gospel Tabernacle. We prayed for him. God bless this little boy and heal this little boy. And everybody did their best praying for him. Praise God. Did their best to believe God. And He looked at his arms after we all got done and said to where everybody could hear him, "I ain't healed." Amen. He could still see the specks on his hands. Amen. He was expecting a little more than that. Amen. And a lot of us are expecting a little more. We're standing at kids, Gene Kidd and Fern Kidd's home, going over for a Christmas get together, and they had the house all decorated up for a Christmas, and Gene had a nice fire built in the fireplace, a good big crackling fire, and Jeff stood there and looked at it. Jeff, I usually catch you gone before I tell these stories. I hate to tell them right in front of you this morning. Amen. Jeff stood there, little four-year-old, looked at it for a good while. He said out loud, shouted it for everybody to hear, "Ain't no Santa Claus coming down that chimney." Amen. It's too much fire. He was expecting maybe a little something else, you know, a little more. Amen. And one reason we believe in Santa Claus is because we think maybe it'll get us a little extra for Christmas. Amen. Oh, boy, I'm in trouble now. Amen. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. And yeah, you say, "What have we spoken against you, Lord?" You said, "It's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we've kept His ordinance and that we have mocked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" That's the way you feel about it sometimes, Jim Lawson. When you're doing your dead level best and others are not doing much at all and going on ahead. Amen. I want to tell you, the promise is coming. I said the promise is coming. Praise God. Amen. The first verse, first word of verse 12 is "and." The first word in verse 11 is "and." He said, "All nations will call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Well, there's that conjunction "and" again. That's back up here, boys. I know you're tired of backing. Amen. And wonderful thing about horses is they got blinders on. But some of you didn't wear your blinders this morning. Amen. And you know where I'm going because you've already peeped. Amen. "And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Well, we got to roll back here, back up to verse 11. "And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and shall not destroy the fruits of your ground." Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. You know, it didn't rain for 30 days. In the month of August, lapping over into September. Amen. And I thought, sure, I might have made a patch would die. One of them would die. I didn't water them a bit. I was tempted to. I even shopped for some soaker hose. And I was going to put it to them. But I never did get time to water them. And you know what? The tomato patch stayed green when the grass and the weeds died all around them. The tomato patch stayed green. Amen. At homecoming, last week in September, I got pictures I took of bucketfuls of tomatoes, some of them weighing nearly 2 pounds. Amen. I mean, even Don Rich, with the big reach he got, couldn't reach around them 1.5 and 2 pounders, praise God. Picked as high as 8 buckets. All I can figure out is God done it. Amen. It was God's mater patch in the first place. He knew I was going to give most of them away. Amen. Wound up selling over $100 worth. Amen. Because I couldn't give them all away. I was picking them so fast. Praise God. But I gave away $500 worth at least. Amen. And all I can figure out is that's why they stayed green. when others told me mine had been dead for a long time. Amen. Well, I wish I'd have given more corn away and the coons wouldn't eat it probably. Amen. I didn't give no corn away and the coons ate every ear. The coons and the possums and the deer together, they didn't leave me one ear in the back patch. I reckon I ought to start giving a little more corn away, but I was a little more close-fisted with my corn. Sister Collins might not want me giving her corn away. I could sneak and give some of it away, maybe. Hey, I just want to give it all away. The coons and deer and possums ate every last ear in the back garden. I had four rows, amen, of Seneca corn that'll have ears of corn on it with greasy grit beans vining up it. Amen. They had corn on it to start with, but you can't find one grain of corn up there now. Ate it all. I had two patches of bloody butcher, one in the far back, amen, and four rows right behind the house on the far upper side. And I said, them coons won't bother that 13-foot tall corn. Them deer won't bother that 13-foot tall corn. Amen. I mean, the stalks get 12 and 13 foot tall. That bloody butcher corn, I run clear out of the seed. And a brother from down Manchester, Kentucky, heard on the tapes how I'd run out of bloody butcher, and he asked Brother Seal Lee if he knew anybody had any bloody butcher seed corn. He said, well, I've got some, said, I raise it every year. And here I got a package, a surprise package, over a pound of bloody butcher seed corn, and I played it all, Brother Croucher. I was going to have some corn that I could take that little old machine and I give quite a bit for several years ago and grind me a cup full at a time and have fresh ground cornmeal and fresh cornbread. And that bloody butcher makes the best tasting cornbread of any of it. I hadn't give any of that away either. And them same varmints ate every last ear. 12-foot tall stalks. Some of them still sticking up in the air. Amen. And the wind came along and blowed them down where they could reach it real good. And they ate every ear. I still had two ears left up there. I thought, well, the Lord's left me some seed, maybe. I'll shell them two ears out. I went up there the other day to picked them two ears just before the weather got bad, before it got too muddy. I was going to shell them out and have seed for the next year. Both ears was down on the ground. The shucks was all pulled back, and the varmints had ate all the seed of both ears. All I can figure out is I can give enough corn away, and I gave plenty of tomatoes away. And I had tomatoes to throw at the birds. There's a ton froze up there on the ground right now. Praise God. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes and shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Amen. Wait a minute. Let's go back. That verse starts with an and. So we got to go back. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That means that rebuking and devour is tied to another condition. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That there may be meat, that means something to eat in my house. Amen. Abundance of food in my house. Amen. I've known many pastors. I've been one myself in small churches that had to buy groceries on the credit to have something to eat and feed the evangelist when he came by. I've had to do it. Amen. I've charged them down at the grocery store and paid it off later, hoping God would bless us. Amen. And supply the need. And the people was making just as much money as ever. Amen. When they got an insurance settlement or a windfall, amen, or back payment on their Social Security, they forgot the preacher. It didn't show up in the church income. Amen. They didn't pay the tithe on the increase to the Lord. And the poor little preacher had to make it the best way he could. You know why? It comes time when a preacher's got to bear down and preach righteousness. It comes time when a preacher's got to bear down and preach holiness. Amen. And sometimes it don't set well with some of the best money givers. There's all kind of people in all kind of churches that'll give all kind of money if you won't take away the idols. If you won't upset the apple cart, if you won't rock the boat, if you won't make them nervous that they're going to have to give up the world and lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. God needs some people that's going to pay tithes if it hurts, Granny. Amen. And so he'll go back, back to verse 8. Will a man rob God? Well, you say you can't rob God. But God says, yet you've robbed me. Stole from God. It don't do any good to brag on what a nice car you got and what a nice house you got if you stole it. Amen. Can't brag much if you stole it. There's a lot of people wearing stolen clothes to church, drove a stolen car to church, and went home to a stolen house. Amen. Because they thought they had to rob God in order to have it. Amen. You've robbed me, but I say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And a lot of ignorant people are comfortably illiterate, and they don't know what tithe means. Tithe is a translation from a Hebrew word that means one-tenth. It is translated many places, the tenth is the Lord's. It's a tenth of the increase. Amen. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Amen. I'll tell you what. There's some wonderful promises from here on down to the end of Malachi. But you can't inherit the promises stealing from God at the same time. Amen. You're going to have to do it right. Praise God. You're cursed with a curse. It circulated a letter around among some people here, among highway homeless folks. Amen. That I was putting curses on people because they didn't pay me their tithes. I don't have nothing to do with it. I can't curse nobody. What do you think I am? Some kind of a voodoo? Some kind of a hottentot with a bone in my nose. Amen. Chewing spider webs and eating spiders for breakfast. Amen. No, 1,000 times no. Amen. I'm just one little old short, slightly fat preacher. Amen. I can't curse nobody. I don't have a thing in the world to do with it. Amen. But it seemed like some folks was afraid of the curse that I could put on them anyhow. They circulated a letter around. And some folks took occasion by it to quit me here at the Highway Holiness Church. One fellow sitting right back on the back seat said I was putting curses on people. And he wouldn't be back anymore. Amen. He apologized later. You know I ain't putting no curses on nobody. Amen. You know I couldn't curse anybody if I was a hottentot with a bone in my nose. Amen. Living in the bush. You can't curse anybody that's covered with the blood. The only one that can curse you is yourself. You're cursed with a curse because you robbed God. Amen. You robbed me, even this whole nation. You say, I don't know about that, brother. I know about it. The statistic is that the average church member across the board only gives 2% of their income to God. That leaves us with a whole lot better average than that at the Highway of Holiness Church. But we're not doing near what we could if we brought all the tithes into the storehouse. Amen. Oh, you say I've been blessed. Yes, this whole nation's been blessed. This whole country's been blessed. And there's a lot of people who go to church that's blessed with the same bless that the sinner is blessed with that never darkens a church door. You know why we're blessed in America? There's a few people that's holding the rest of us up. There's a few people that's still getting together. There's a few people that's still praying. There's a few people that's still separated from the world. Amen. And God would have saved Sodom if he could have found 10 of them. But he couldn't find 10. There's more than that in the United States of America. And thank God, in spite of the fact that a bunch of them steal from God every Sunday, there's more people goes to church than attends all the football games put together. I know we're going sports crazy and football mad and basketball ignorant. Amen. But bless your heart. Hallelujah. There's still some people that's living for God. There's still some people that's got visions of being ready for the coming of the Lord. There's still some people on their knees shedding tears. Oh God, pour out your spirit. Oh Lord, save my loved ones. Oh Lord, save our town. Amen. And we get together once in a while to reap the harvest, and then we chip in. And there's a bunch at the highway that gives a whole lot more than tithe, and that's why America's blessed. It's God's will that we go above and beyond, because we can do it. We can do it and still have plenty left. We can do it and still have an abundance left. It don't do no good to pinch pennies with God. Give your tomatoes away and God will save your patch. I'm still eating ripe tomatoes up at the house in November the 8th. Amen. I picked 10 gallon of ripe tomatoes November the 5th, just before the last hard freeze. How in the world did you do it back on? Down in Arkansas, I've been gone a long time. I've been gone a long time. In Ohio, too. But when you give most of your tomatoes away, God will bless your tomato patch. Give most of your greenbacks away, God will bless your pocketbook. Amen. God needs you to come to the cause. Rally to the need. Because you know what? In the last analysis, amen, you're at the first window now. Amen, place your order. Hallelujah. By the time you make it around to the last one, amen, God's got angels filling your sack. You don't need Santa Claus to come down the chimney. Oh, he opens the windows of heaven and pours you out a blessing that you'll hardly be able to contain. Why? Because you give to God. Now, you can't put it in the hands of God. Amen. But you can give it to God's priesthood, his representatives, his cause, and the need that knocks on your door. Of course, you have to have wisdom. Amen. These folks that pray on churches, we've known it for a long time. They arrested one woman this week. She's just the only one that got in the paper. There's a whole bunch of them that should have been arrested. Amen. Some of them have made several trips to the highway, two trips at least to the highway. I recognize them from years past. Same story. Amen. Same need. Same emergency. Praying on the sympathies of God's people. Amen. I know how to handle them though. If they don't care anything about God and don't want to stay for church and don't want to worship God with us and seek the Lord, they're not worthy of our help. If they're not interested in serving God, praying, and helping the people that's praying, they're not worthy of our help. So I just tell them to stay for church. If they leave, don't care about the things of God, don't make any effort. Amen. Most time we don't happen. Don't help them. Or I give anybody about it $2 to get rid of them, sometimes $5. Amen. Hallelujah. But by and large, if you get much help, you're going to have to serve God. Amen. Stand with us. Let's pray, Lord. Reach down your hand. Touch us, Lord God, and anoint us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, to claim the promises. Lord, help us to live in the conditions between the need and the promise. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. As we sing, we invite you around an altar of prayer. They that feared the Lord spake often one to the other. Amen. That means teenagers and young people, you need to be more interested in the things of God.
What a joy divine, leaning on